This is George M. Landis speaking on What Saith the Scriptures. We intend to be very simple today and speak on a very elementary subject, the alphabet. Before going further, may we read several verses of Scripture. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Revelation 22:13. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The word alphabet is a combination of the first two letters of the Greek alphabet, Alpha and Beta, corresponding to the English A and B. Some amazingly simple things are even more amazing in their accomplishment. This is especially true of the alphabet. It is basic and fundamental to all written language. By letters of the alphabet, words are formed. By the use of words, thoughts are expressed, which oftentimes have shaped the destinies of individuals, peoples, and nations. Sometimes for blessing, sometimes for ill. Every noble and useful thought which has enriched life, every psalm, song, and poem which has brought joy and solace to the souls of men, every promise and prophecy which, like twinkling stars, have shed their beams of cheer and comfort and hope in the darkness of this veil of tears, all these have employed an alphabet, and without which we would be ignorant of them. The letters which the child learns in kindergarten or first grade, that child will use the remainder of its life. Suppose you should gaze over the shoulder of the most learned of the sons of men and watch as he wrote out some theory, formula, or proposition that was to prove a blessing to millions. You would note that he was using the same letters that he learned in the first days of his education. With the simple letters of the alphabet, the Magna Carta, which liberated vast multitudes from regal tyranny, was written. The Declaration of Independence, marking the birth of this United States nation, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution, which guaranteed and protected the liberties of its citizens. The Emancipation Proclamation, which struck the shackles of slavery from a race within its borders, all were written with the letters of the alphabet. Every law upon the statute books, every presidential message or pardon, every official declaration of war, and every treaty of peace employed an alphabet. Without these simple letters, all the vast libraries of earth, with their millions of books, could never have been. Without the letters of the alphabet, I would not now be holding in my hand the book of books, that precious holy Bible, treasure rich and rare, word of God eternal, balm for every care. After this rather devious introduction, we now call your attention to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the alphabet of God, and the Word of God. In Revelation 22:13, he declared, I am Alpha and Omega. Of the hundreds and names and titles of our blessed Lord, this is one of the strangest. In the Greek alphabet, there were 24 letters, of which Alpha is the first and Omega the last. It is the equivalent of saying, I am the A and the Z. By this title, we are to learn that Christ is the embodiment and expression of the mind, of the thought of God. The invisible God is made known through the incarnate Son, as we read in John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, or told him out, as the margin renders it. To this agree the words of the Lord himself, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. All that may be expressed of God is seen in the wonderful glories of Christ. He is both language and spokesman. Hear the simple yet sublime opening of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here he is language. Somewhat similar are the stately opening lines of the Epistle to the Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son. God hath spoken. His Son is both messenger and message. Christ is the first letter of the alphabet of God, Alpha, and he is the last letter, Omega, and he is every letter between. From this wonderful alphabet of God, every word of grace can be told out. There is nothing before Alpha, and there is nothing beyond Omega. Christ is the sum and substance, the full expression of the truth of God and of the God of truth. He comprehends all the names in which God is revealed. Had Christ come in angelic form, man could not have read the language. Did you ever consider that the Bible, as we have it in the English language, with every warning to the ungodly, every invitation of grace to sinners, every exhortation of the saints to godliness, every hymn of comfort to the troubled and distressed, every promise of hope for the future, and every paean of praise, is composed of the 26 letters of the English alphabet. But Christ is the theme, the center, and the substance of Scriptures. They are they which testify of him. In the volume of the book, it is written of him. The Lord Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z, the alphabet of God, which spells out his message of salvation for sinners and blessed consolation for the saints, for time and for eternity. He fills the book from Genesis to Revelation. May we now notice in the second place some of the words which Christ, the alphabet of God, spells out. Take the wonderful word salvation. You cannot spell it without the word Jesus. As the angel Gabriel said to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." No saint of God, however holy, no sinning angel, however, no shining angel, however glorious, can ever save a single soul. Hear the words of the Apostle Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, as he spoke to the high priest and rulers of the temple. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Some have tried to spell salvation with the alphabet of good works, religion, morality, and such like, but have failed. For salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end of God's salvation. It starts with him and ends with him. When the great work of salvation is fully completed in those who trust in Christ, we will be perfectly conformed to the image of God's Son. We shall be like Christ. Oh, wondrous thought! Jesus, how much thy name unfolds to every opened ear. The pardoned sinner's memory holds none other half so dear. Then let us look at several aspects of salvation. Take the words of heavenly sweetness, redemption, and its other form, redeemed. It is not in the power of man to spell that matchless word, for Scripture clearly tells us that no man can by any means redeem his brother, much less himself. But bring in the name of Jesus, and what have we? In whom we have redemption through his blood. And again, the words of the Apostle Peter, "For as much as ye know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." And ere the book of books closes, as we have the great chorus, "For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign over the earth." Another word closely allied with redemption is forgiveness and forgiven. Can you spell forgiven without Christ? By no means. Hear his own words. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." No man, regardless of his claim, can forgive my sins. They cannot spell the matchless word forgiven. But here Christ speaks to the poor, abandoned sinner of the street, as he reclined at the feast in the house of Simon. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. She learned the truth of Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. To one other word will we turn. Deliverance. We read, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Deliverance from sin's dark dominion and galling bondage is only through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his atoning work upon the cross and his glorious resurrection. He liberated the slaves of sin, as he said, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Further, believers are enjoined to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So the Lord also spells out the blessed word, deliverance. We shall conclude this message in a few moments, God willing. Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifest, God seen and heard, the Heaven's beloved One. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou, that every knee to thee should bow. In thee most perfectly express the Father's self doth shine, fullness of Godhead to the blessed, eternally divine. Image of the infinite unseen, whose being none can know, brightness of light no eye hath seen, God's love revealed below. The higher mysteries of thy fame, the creature's grasp transcend, the Father only, thy blessed name, of Son, can comprehend. Yet loving thee, on whom his love ineffable doth rest, the worshippers, O Lord above, as one with thee are blessed. Of the vast universe of bliss, the center thou and Son, the eternal theme of praise is this, to heaven, beloved one. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou, that every knee to thee should bow. Access is another word we can consider. Access to God. Sin has banished man from God's presence and effectually barred his return. No sinner can see God's face and live. None can reopen the gates of paradise and spell the word access. But listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. But how did he provide a way of access to God? Listen again. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. When, in that awful darkness, at Calvary, our Lord cried, it is finished, the way into God's presence was opened, and the believing sinner has access, through the blood of Christ, into the very presence of God. We will next take the word acceptance. Every son of Adam is unacceptable to God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Nor can any work of the flesh render us so, for in this, as in every other aspect of salvation, the flesh profiteth nothing, and they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But bring the Lord Jesus Christ into the picture, and we read, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, Ephesians 1:6. The believer is accepted in Christ. The measure of Christ's acceptance with the Father is the measure of ours who believe in him. We turn now to the word wisdom. Where shall wisdom be found? In his departure from God, the Bible tells us that man's foolish heart was darkened. Professing himself to be wise, he became a fool. Romans 1:22. So man in his folly cannot spell wisdom. Again we turn to him who said, I am the truth. The one by whom grace and truth came. came into this world. Scripture tells us that Christ is the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians 1:30, and that of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom, even righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, 1 Corinthians 1:30. Christ is the beginning and the end of divine wisdom, its Alpha and Omega. And when we think of power, that word too can only be spelled out by the one named Jesus, the one who was crucified in weakness, and yet who bore that majestic title, the Mighty God, and who, during his ministry on earth, manifested that mighty power over sin, sickness, sorrow, storms, Satan, and even death, the one who, after his resurrection, declared, "All power hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth." Thank God, in our weakness, we can rest in his omnipotence. Our Lord Jesus is also the alphabet which spells out righteousness. Every descendant of Adam has misspelled righteousness. The epistle to the Romans proves that all the world is destitute of righteousness. But Christ is the Lord our righteousness, as predicted by the prophet. Though he died in the eyes of the world as a criminal, yet the Roman centurion who crucified him said, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." We read a few moments ago in another connection, "He is made unto us righteousness." Only through faith in the sacrificial work of the Son of God can guilty sinners become righteous in God's sight. As we read, "Being justified or pronounced righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood." Closely allied with the word righteousness is the word holiness. Again, the entire human race is guilty of misspelling this word. Sin has separated man from the holy God and from any thought of attaining holiness by his own effort. Some will vainly attempt to spell holiness with the alphabet of ascetic practices and self-imposed privation. But such cannot banish sin or sanctify the flesh. In our unholy helplessness, we hear the words of Gabriel spoken to Mary, "That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." In 33 years upon the earth, the Nazarene demonstrated his holiness and could hurl a challenge at his bitterest enemies, "Who of you convinceth me of sin?" He who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness is also made unto us sanctification or holiness. In speaking to John on Patmos, he used the words, "These things saith he that is holy," Revelation 3:7. In the next place, Jesus Christ is the alphabet by which alone can we spell the word life. The world vainly attempts to spell the word life with the alphabet of pleasure, self-will, and lust, but discovers when it is too late that it is spelled a death instead. Thereby the scripture is verified, which says, "She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." That is, death spiritually, while dead spiritually, while she lives physically. But of Christ we read, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men," John 1:4. And again, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And Paul writes of Christ, who is our life. The Lord himself declared in John 17:3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Dear listener, would you have life? Remember that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Let us now think of that beautiful word, love. Where can the alphabet be found which can form this word of exquisite beauty? It will not be found among the languages of the sons of men, so filled with envy, strife, and hatred. But look to the Lord Jesus. He is the Son of the Father's love. In love, God gave His for this sinful world. He loved me and gave Himself up for me. Galatians 2:20. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10. So with the hymn writer we can say, Thy name we bless, Lord Jesus, that name all names excelling. How great Thy love, all praise above, should every tongue be telling. For our next word, let us consider light. Man being darkness, and walks in darkness, performs the works of darkness, and cannot spell light. But Christ is the one who, coming into the world, lighteth every man. John 1:9. His character was transparent, and he could say, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He is now our light, and will be forever. For we read that in the heavenly city they have no need of the sun, neither the moon, for the Lord God giveth them light, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Consequently, no shadows shall ever fall, and there shall be no night there. Revelation 21:25. Again, dear listener, can you spell out, with the alphabet of human effort, the comforting word, peace? Man may think that he has spelled it out, and finds that sudden destruction has been spelled instead. There is no peace, said my God, to the wicked. However, there is one who has spelled it out, the one who was prophesied as Prince of Peace, the one who made peace by the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20, the one through whom those justified have peace with God, Romans 5:1. The one who is our peace, and the one who, at his second advent, will bring lasting peace to this war-torn world. Turn to him, dear troubled soul, and you will find true his word, In me ye shall have peace, John 16:33. And finally, Christ is the alphabet by which absolute sovereignty can be spelled. For 6,000 years, man has tried to spell this word with the alphabet of despotism, monarchy, democracy, socialism, and communism, and has spelled out ruin instead. But of Jesus it was prophesied, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Isaiah 9:6-7. He who was once crowned with thorns shall yet wear the diadem of dominion and reign as King of kings and Lord of lords, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So there's real meaning in the words of our Lord, I am Alpha and Omega. He is the alphabet of God, which spells out every word of blessing and every sentence